Maybe I can say that this project can be seen as a parallel collection. It takes its source in a digital collection from Musée du Cinquantenaire in Brussels, but it could have a start in any kind of art and history museum in the world, I can imagine. But this one took start in Brussels. And all the items contain an uncertainty vocabulary and its description. And that's how we choose any or every item of this collection. And it can be, for instance, maybe, or may, or must, or peut-être, or lecker, or any kind of word which you put on a database search area, and then you have items coming through this uncertainty.
As a collection, these are objects that have been, yes, as Marie said, taken from the online collection from Musée du Cinquantenaire, and we've tried to take those objects and to a certain extent keep their trace or their origin visible as well. So we're not taking just the item that's just the element of phrasing that we're interested in. We're taking actually as much as we can, or as much as we think is necessary to highlight these incertitudes and across several languages, across several kind of terms, across several. So it's a very it's a very acute observation that Marie came forwards with, and applying it or actually drilling into the collection and finding it has been possible through a few different techniques. But we tried to assemble all of these objects by keeping them relatively or as close as possible to their original formatting. Now, I'm not talking about aesthetic formatting necessarily, but more like categorization and types of objects and the way the objects were described, but as well metadata, as in the way in which the people at the museum decided to number and archive and add identification objects to the images and to the objects themselves. We're specifically with this project interested in the descriptions that have been made, the actual written descriptions that have been inputted, the readable, human readable descriptions that have been inputted. But there's a lot of secondary information, metadata, that's also been kept along with the collection to try and maybe enable a second look, maybe allow for, okay, once this set of uncertain objects has been extracted, are we able to see a new level, another mesh of ways through which these objects are connected, which is definitely an ongoing question.
Can I ask maybe if you could say something about why it was or it is important to pay attention to uncertainties in these collections?
Well, it's also how we start the collection. It was through the workshop in 2016, and when we start to look at uncertainties, it was the idea first about maybe more the term of dates. Sometimes we don't know from when all those objects are, so we're looking for this kind of quotation marks or typographically speaking, how we can see a date that we don't know, a provenance or a place where those objects were taken from. And so why it's so important to look at uncertainties, I think it's also because, from my point of view, uncertainty is necessary, also in a term of reflection, like why those objects are here in this collection and how we can look at it. Is it just only as an object And for instance, their use or their history, like is it only a piece of work? Was it also used by people? Like let's say if it's a fork or if it's a bowl or anything that was useful. But it's also the idea of how those objects arrived. And lots of time we really don't know, and it's not really written that this object or this one was maybe stolen or taken from we don't know who, and we don't know who sell it to someone and then sell it again to the museum, or maybe museum take it from we don't know really how all of this happened. And also we like the collection of incertitude maybe show a bit that more you give uncertainties vocabulary, like it's a nuance in terms of lexicality, it's usually it's not really like object we don't know about. It's really more object we give or like conservator give lots of information about. So it's really more about nuance, but we think it was super interesting to go through all of this probable or possible almost perhaps words and what was just after this kind of word, just also to put or to ask why or what this museum is showing to the public and how the public can then take it back to his own history, for instance. Like, is it really matter? Do we really matter to know only about the color, the form, like description very rationally, or like a scientist would do it? Or do we need, or would we like as a public to have maybe more information about all of that we don't know about this object a bit? And it's, I think it's important maybe to put this parallel, like this idea of, it's definitely not neutral how we classify an object in a museum, and especially when it's about art and history, like we all know, especially a cinquantenaire.
Maybe I can just add a small thing to this as I'm listening to you, Marie, and also remembering like my first engagements with the collection itself, just from a very simple start point. The act of cataloging, the act of entering objects into a database or making a collection of objects searchable through a database, whatever the format, is a very complicated discipline in itself. But you mentioned, Marie, kind of the word neutrality. There's I guess kind of always an idea of, okay, how many different categories or how many different sort words or keys or descriptors or columns in the table are we going to have to add to achieve a rounded description? And this is a question that all museums are facing or have faced, and it's a very complicated one. And I think in most cases there are interesting results from that and questionable results from that. But by focusing on the uncertitudes that this project kind of zooms in on, it's a specific angle through which to see or to be able to look at how the human interacts with these objects, or how the human has still in this very strict grid of naming schemes and organization methods that has been designed to catalog and organize and enable finding of different objects through time codes and descriptors and geography. There is still this quite often generous description written by a human that describes the objects in all the other terms that are not possible to capture in very more scientific or more factual or metadata types of information. The description itself shows the human element. It shows the human that's put in time, maybe taking the pictures of the object and then looking at it and researching the history and figuring out what we know for sure. And then all the elements that are not for sure are a really interesting view, in my opinion, on the person doing the act of cataloging and the things that they were, all the things that they were able to say for sure, and in all the elements, it points to all of the things that are not possible to say about the object, I think, and that's, there's quite some interest in that, I think.
Maybe also something we tried when we started this project, it's as a classification, as already a kind of tree view, arborescence, we like item has to fit through something, through cases, through lines, through something already exists. So definitely the idea was to find gray zones, and it was easier to go through this kind of lexicality and typographic or any kind of element who can show these uncertainties. But of course, we know that it's really a parallel collection, because those objects, it's not like a true uncertainty collection. We are really playing with this doubt and uncertainties.
I'm like listening to you both and thinking, how do you like? Do you think the uncertainties that you find around these objects have anything to do with the colonial conditions under which these objects have been acquired? Do you think there's some ghost of that in these descriptions?
It's super hard to answer to that, because I'm not sure, and I don't think the item we found are definitely I can't transfer if it's like the more colonial part of the collection, because it's a really huge mix of lots of different objects. It can be definitely sculpture, but it can be also like bowl or objects which are also from Europe. So maybe, let's say, not from a country, but from a colonial country. I'm feeling that it can be seen as a parallel collection. It can be seen as a definitely ghost colonial collection in terms of, theoretically speaking, or in terms of, let's say more in terms of process or protocol we start to work with, because obviously you can ask those questions like, where are those objects from? How do we know it's from this country, this region? And we really don't know how the subject arrived. So definitely, if there is uncertainties, it can highlight a bit this, but in another way, some other objects are maybe totally different. So it's a mix. I would say it's a huge mix. That's why also it's interesting, because uncertainties can arrive through colonial question, of course, but also how, for instance, from low and high culture, like which object is important and is not important in a culture? What do we keep? What do we show? So it's really on different level, I would say.
But something that is maybe connected to colonial attitudes is very much embedded in these uncertainties and certitudes that we're looking at. To give a very just simple example of that, the keywords or word patterns that we're focusing on, there are very in the specifics of the language of each, when they're listed as a collection, oh yeah, all of these stand out as areas that are open for interpretation or uncertitudes or that need to be completed. But to give an example, two words that are quite close, and just to use the English versions as we're talking in English, but probably and possibly are two very different words to use in a description. And if the object that is being catalogued has a history that is questionable, as a person entering data into or cataloging and filing the subject into a data set, the choice of using the words probably is a lot more active and a lot more, and maybe a certain sense, destructive to its history than the words possibly. I just mean that by even, I think this is one of the things that the collection highlights, maybe at a level, it's many layers need to be peeled back for this highlight to happen. But when somebody entering a description uses the words, probably within that word, there is a certain certitude that is explained in a way, yes, I can't 100% guarantee this, but probably, and it hides, we suppose, research and facts and knowledge that backs this up. But the fact that person chose to use the words probably as opposed to the words possibly or the words might or the word may affirms a certain certainty, which I think in some ways might connect to a colonial attitude.
We wanted to ask you the question that Anaïs had for you. She was wondering about the physicality of the collection. So she was wondering how you would imagine if the collection, La Collection des Incertitudes, would become a physical collection. What would that be?
Well, actually, it was some of the questions we had in mind for the exhibition at the library, but mm-hmm. unfortunately, as now it's online, it's something we postpone a bit. But of course, if we want to talk about physicality or display for Incertitude, it's definitely something we have to. Yeah, we have to go a bit further, maybe at the end of the year or something. But it was this idea of having maybe a catalog, a poster, or different items, different objects, different way of showing, all of the uncertainty. It's something for the future.
But I think the way she was asking it was maybe more like, let's imagine you would have carte blanche for the institution, and you would be able to curate an exhibition with the physical objects in the museum. So not so much making the project physical, but what would the physical equivalent be of this collection, for example, in the museum?
Well, it would be so many stars and nuts in all the papers and cardboard everywhere, where there is a missing words or missing information. No, it would be super interesting actually to think it as a physical. It would be a huge project. It would be to close the museum and put all of the objects back, maybe, or it would be to bring all of the objects which are the less known in one room, or it can be so many ways. It's a huge question again.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean by putting the object back?
Well, if there is no information on how some objects enter to the museum, I mean, it's really something also which is it's an open question now for lots of museums. What do we do when if some objects are not supposed to be in the museum? Mm-hmm. Like, are we allowed if it's a really uncertain object, but not in a metaphorical for real reason? Do we have to show it, or do we have maybe to give it to the real owner? Or it can also be seen as a way of making an exhibition like maybe more mediation about all of this uncertainties.
I even think that actually just before breaking into, before becoming more specific into all the different uncertainties that have been identified, if there was a way in a carte blanche, maybe, I don't know how possible this is in the real world, kind of allowance of thought, if there was even just a way of physically displaying all of the objects, all of the elements of the collection, all of the items of the collection for which the museum is certain or has a certainty versus the uncertainty. I think maybe like a polar kind of, yes, a polar split would be really interesting to actually maybe even allow or create a conversation towards towards why are these objects here if there are uncertainties about them or unclarities or if there is a lack of knowledge about them. I was just trying to imagine what it would be to have a big hall, a big open space in which on one side of the room, on one side of the space, all of the objects that the museum's been able to be certain about would appear, and then on the left side, on the other side, I should say, on the opposite side would be all the objects that still have gaps in the archival knowledge about them. I actually don't know the answer to the question then of like which side would be busier, which is there more certainties or are there more items that are certain or more items that are uncertain, and is it like what would that look like? And then maybe in the uncertain side, then there could be a breakdown into different like degrees of uncertainty, maybe coming back to what we spoke about last week.
Yeah, and also maybe different kinds of uncertainty, because
exactly.
Uncertainty about the right to care for the object is different, of course, than uncertainty about the material something is made from, or the name of the maker.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
But in a way, the museum is already showing the uncertainty collection, but it just doesn't know that it's showing it because we decided to call it like that. But in a way, there is already items all around the museum where we don't have information about. So yeah, it would be interesting. Let's think about maybe at some point people would be interesting. I don't know.
So what we try to ask you about is how the, let's say, call for the museum to accept and also display its vulnerability. We were wondering in what way that could maybe also be read as a way that the institution would not be held, not needing to be responsible with what it's doing. So in a way, could it be seen as an apologetic move, maybe, as a way to say we cannot help because we also don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think about that? How do you see the consequences of calling for uncertainty in that demand for change and transformation of the way cultural institutions deal with this cultural heritage?
It was good to see the question written, so it was easy also to think of the answer. So I hope I understand well your question, but my point of view is that basically to talk about and to show uncertainties is obviously a way of evoking all of the things forgotten and like that could be legitimate, objective, like scientific missing info or insufficiency, like of financial means, etc. But of course, it's the metaphorical here that is maybe the more important part. So And it's obviously some, in some way, some, unadmitted or deliberately erasing some information. So
I actually, yeah, to be honest, I find it a bit hard to answer this question because in a way, I actually feel like maybe from a bit more of an activist position that the museum should acknowledge its doubt and maybe take that on a bit more seriously. But I thought that maybe to not turn this this finger, or maybe this not turn this attention that we're drawing to uncertainty to be seen as a something that the museum needs to apologize for, or that points to a wrongdoing of the museum. I thought that it could actually be an opportunity even to embrace that and to maybe show the areas where there are gaps, and to actually possibly make invitations for these gaps to be thought about.
But in the question, what we were trying to say is not that we think that institutions shouldn't acknowledge the uncertainties. It's more in this. Let's think about how the institutions have been positioned themselves until now, with a lot of with certainty and a lot of entitlement. And now that we're pointing to them that there's some things wrong, then giving them the opportunity to just say we're not sure. Then it's kind of a way to leave it that way and not actually. We can leave things as they are because we're not sure, and it's okay not to be sure, instead of facing and doing a very uncomfortable and difficult work of being a bit more sure about what they've been doing.
What might need to be changed.
Yeah.
In one way, I agree that they should be more sure in what they're doing. Because it's a scientist, like practice and point of view. But if you really think of objects and items in any museum, like who we have to really say, oh, this object is only this, this object is only that. What would be super interesting if in cataloging and in classification and etc., there is definitely, and in each museum, only art and museum, the possibility to have different layers of reading. And from now we are used to have only like super scientific description with the origin, historically speaking, a description, dimension, material, etc. Or we have mediation, like this is the best masterpiece of the museum, and it's all of the historical information public like to hear in a way, like maybe but there is other entries we need to really think of for description and also all of the dialogue with art objects. And even for contemporary practice, I think sometimes it's either the way of the critics or the way for the public, like more accessible. But it's always a bit in each corner. But I'm pretty sure like any kind of visitor has his own reading, way of seeing information because of his culture, his knowledge, his sensation, etc. So it's what we need to have in also museum, but also online catalogs, because it's easier to do so, I think. Like better point of view, better reader or voices, actually. So different point of view and different the sure and unsure, it would be always there, I think. Like, who is able to say, I'm sure this is this? It's really pretentious in a way. But it's what we try to do. But it's Western way of thinking also. But I don't know. I would prefer to have several voices than just this kind of idea of we have to change the way to make sure it's true. Because I'm not sure we can have, I don't know if I'm clear, but uncertainties would be always a bit around anyway.
To come back a little bit at, let's say, the starting point of the project, you mentioned it a little bit already earlier, but could you say a bit about where did it start, and also where you are now? So in terms of the different versions of the your proposition.
So we start with Martin Campillo during the first workshop. And how we start working together, I think it was we start noticing that basically as soon as you go through item on Carmentis, so Carmentis is an online database, we notice that you found uncertainties. Basically, the experts would have to say that this item is this or this item is not this. Because we start looking through all of the items with no certainties. So we are looking especially for different kind of typographic or archivist methodology or anything that can bring uncertainties. But what we start to found is this kind of like sub collection through this, all of the keywords we used. But also we can start also to see some, let's say, absurdity to find all of this item together. Like, as soon as people would put more information on the item, more we would have uncertainties. So we kind of like this kind of unpolarized debate, or very polarized, because basically we are used to have information, like experts saying, "Put like this item is a." Is a spoon, or this object is a very well done a clock, for instance. But as soon as object had this kind of uncertainties, we felt a bit that putting, for instance, an item from Middle Age close by an object from the 18th century, maybe give us a more fluid a lecture of the collection. So as we start, I think it was really a reflection on how can we show these uncertainties. And also the idea was to think that we need uncertainty today, we need gray zone, and we need to use all of the digital tools or digital new, let's say, new spaces available, so through this online collection, to give a new voice or to show a more unseen collection. So it's really not the idea to do a new collection, but really a parallel one, and to show a bit where experts as a possibility or a probable voice. It's really to notice this kind of little space we as a visitor, but also the conservator or archivist, as a little freedom, and how the tool, so basically in the Musée des Cinquantenaires, there is only 84 like artwork, which are the most beautiful artwork from the museum that are alight in the website. So for us, it was interesting to scrap and to go into all the collection, to scrap all the elements. It can be a very super beautiful artwork, or maybe something that the expert doesn't really think it's the most important. But we felt that it would be interesting to mix also a bit this collection to show it in another way. and also to be a bit more reflexive, or to put a more reflexive lecture on it.
In many ways, I think the project had quite some key versions or key stages it got to. A few key stages it got to that I think might be worth highlighting, because in itself, the project, the collection really is an observation and a set of initial research through thinking about this language and seeing if that language from a theoretical point of view is reflected in the database, and to use the search tools of the database to see if certain uncertain words have been used. So I think the very first version to point out this collection is really the very first version was a simple collection of words. I say simple, it's really not simple, but was a collection of words. And actually I'm looking at a spreadsheet that Marie and I use at the moment to both catalog and inventory our own processes, our own set of words, and make sure that we're checking for translations, etc. But for me, that's the very first embodiment of the collection. It was at the very beginning just an idea, and then that idea got researched and tested, and it created this collection of words. And that version has progressed and been added to and been questioned, and some things have worked out, some things have had to be removed, either for technical reasons or because some elements have disappeared or there are too few to make them actual cases. But for me, that's maybe the most important first version, was a collection of words, of uncertitudes, uncertainties. And important to mention that actually within this first version, it's kind of got there's a trio. As I mentioned, the collection exists in three languages because the original database and because of Belgium's setup, there's three languages. So we've got French words because that's the language that Marie and I communicate in. We think in that one first, and then we've got Flemish words, and then we've got English words. So that in itself is already kind of the initial version, probably the most tangible output, or I don't necessarily like the word output, but maybe the most tangible version to look at from the end of the initial research at the work session, the initial diversion work session. And from there, it kind of changed a little bits in that this was always kind of, let's say, the master document, and from there kind of started this whole set of extractions or copies or scrapings or clones from the database. So over the time between the end of the initial work session that I was not part of, but that Marie and Martin did the initial research at, then there were several different attempts to manually extract, or not necessarily manually, but to item by item extract the database elements from Caramentis' collection and to start using them. So a second very important version, I think, was all the mock-ups that you created, Marie. That's a bit too designy. I don't mean to call them mock-ups, but more like graphic prototypes, maybe, of how the collection could be viewed and visited or shown, which was super helpful for me to enter. I joined later as a bit more of a little bit from a technical point of view, also clearly very interested in the project of all the people that participated in the work session, but specifically in this one. And from these graphical prototypes, I was able to really understand what I could do. And Marie, I think you were still working a lot with Michael, who had built a scraper, Michael Murtaugh, who built a scraper, this kind of tool to programmatically extract elements from the Carmentis database. So you are quite already busy generating scrapes. I'm conscious that that word might not mean all that much to somebody listening to us in a few weeks or later down the line. Literally a gathering, programmatic gathering through a script, essentially. So we would start a little process on our computers that let us query the original database that we're looking at, and that outputs that creates at the other end a spreadsheet, a CSV file with all the data that we're interested in, plus a little folder on the side with all the other data, all the media data, so all the images. And this was like super instrumental for the development of this collection, and it really brought us to be able to create more versions. We've had to kind of figure out, okay, now we're putting away all the CSV files from the original research, and we'll do a 2019 version of the scraping. So in creating the version, the websites of the collection for the exhibition at Piano Fabrique, it was another set of scrapes. And at the moment, Marie and I are talking about possibly putting those aside or archiving them and creating another set of scrapes for the year 2020. So I think there are kind of different steps of the process and maybe the kind of key versions.
Maybe you have another question for another group that we are going to talk to in like tomorrow, and we were wondering if you had any questions about the project Material Realities that's also been growing next to yours, and no doubt being inspiring and being inspired by the work you've been doing. So would you want us to bring a question to them, and what is the question?
Well, I have two questions. I don't know if Colm, you also have some.
I'm afraid I'm not familiar enough really with the works as a collect as a whole. And I think Marie would be way better suited to ask questions.
Yeah. So my first question is: have you ever had e-hair or VR, so virtual reality or augmented reality visits? So it can be in a museum or elsewhere that has totally blew your mind.
So
that's one question.
Okay, have you ever visited?
Have you ever had a VR or AR visit that has totally blew your mind or your body, because it can be also physical? And maybe it's an easier question. And the second, I feel, is a bit more difficult. So, so what's your idea? What's your opinion of a virtual exhibition and the aura of objects?
Mm-hmm.
Voila. Because I'm really wondering how they're going to deal with the physicality, with the sculpture, because it was something super important in the exhibition space last time with the Mia cube. And I was wondering how this kind of, I feel like we cannot really have the same feeling when we are, if you are like in front of something totally virtual. But in another way, I was wondering this question of aura because of Lascaux. And when you go to this fake Lascaux, I feel like you totally, you still believe on everything, and you're really into an aura atmosphere. So I don't know how, or is it something that interests them, or is it something they are working on? Or
we wanted to ask you the question that Anaïs had for you. She was wondering about the physicality of the collection. So I was wondering how you would imagine if the collection, La Collection des Incertitudes, would become a physical collection. What would that be?
Well, actually, it was some of the questions we had in mind for the exhibition at the library, but mm-hmm. unfortunately, as now it's online, it's something we postpone a bit. But of course, if we want to talk about physicality or display for incertitude, it's definitely something we have to, yeah, we have to go a bit further, maybe at the end of the year or something. But it was this idea of having maybe a catalog, a poster, or different items, different objects, different way of showing, all of the uncertainty. It's something for the future.
But I think the way she was asking it was maybe more like, let's imagine you would have carte blanche for the institution, and you would be able to curate an exhibition with the physical objects in the museum. So not so much making the project physical, but what would the physical equivalent be of this collection, for example, in the museum?
Well, it would be so many stars and nuts in all the papers and cardboard everywhere where there is a missing world or missing information. No, it would be super interesting actually to think it as a physical, it would be a huge project. It would be to close the museum and put all of the objects back, maybe, or it would be to bring all of the objects which are the less known in one room, or it would be, it can be so many ways. It's a huge question again.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean by putting the object back?
Well, if there is no information on how some objects enter to the museum, I mean, it's really something also which is asked, or it's an open question now for lots of museums. What do we do when if some objects are not supposed to be in the museum? Mm-hmm. Like, are we allowed if it's a really uncertain object, but not in a metaphorical for real reason? Do we have to show it, or do we have, maybe to give it to the real owner? Or it can also be seen as a way of making an exhibition, like maybe more mediation about all of this uncertainties.
I even think that actually just... before breaking into, before becoming more specific into all the different uncertainties that have been identified, if there was a way in a carte blanche, maybe, I don't know how possible this is in the real world, kind of allowance of thought, if there was even just a way of physically displaying all of the objects, all of the elements of the collection, all of the items of the collection for which the museum is certain or has a certainty versus the uncertainty. I think maybe like a polar kind of, a polar split would be really interesting to actually maybe even allow or create a conversation towards why are these objects here if there are uncertainties about them or unclarities or if there is a lack of knowledge about them. I was just trying to imagine what it would be to have a big hall, a big open space in which on one side of the room, on one side of the space, all of the objects that the museum has been able to be certain about would appear, and then on the left side, on the other side, I should say, on the opposite side would be all the objects that still have gaps in the archival knowledge about them. I actually don't know the answer to the question then of like which side would be busier, which is there more certainties, or is there, are there more items that are certain or more items that are uncertain? And is it like what would that look like? And then maybe in the uncertain side, then there could be a breakdown into different like degrees of uncertainty, maybe coming back to what we spoke about last week.
Yeah, and also maybe different kinds of uncertainty, because
exactly.
Uncertainty about the right to care for the object is different, of course, than uncertainty about the material something is made from, or the name of the maker.
Just yes, yeah.
But in a way, the museum is already showing the uncertainty collection, but just doesn't know that it's showing it because we decided to call it like that. But in a way, there is already items all around the museum where we don't have information about. So yeah, it would be interesting. Let's think about maybe at some point people would be interesting.